This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke-Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. Whether you have a straightforward W-2 or a more complex return or business, our clients come back year after year. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at TaxTacklers.com.
Hey, Ramona, how's this Jonathan Kuminga reintegration going to go?
Slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly. How do you like that? I choose to look at the bright side, okay? You have a great player coming back, and, you know, he's had a lot of time off. That was a serious ankle sprain he had. What was it, grade 3 or something? That's pretty bad. And I think it's, they got to take their time building him back up, but also like figuring out where he fits again. You know, he was playing a role as their second best player. I mean, when he went out, it was Steph Curry 1, Kuminga 2. And now it's obviously Steph Curry 1, Jimmy 2, and sometimes you could flip the order of that. So he's got to move down in the pecking order again, back to 3 or even 4, depending on how other people are playing that night. I also think they don't want to take minutes away from guys who have played really well. Like, I think Guy Santos is going to keep playing, and he's going to have to earn his minutes. But he was doing really well when he went out. And so let's see how long it takes him to get back to that level. I just think like it's a hard thing this late in the season, especially when you've already integrated Jimmy, to really change how you're playing, especially when you're playing really well. Like, I'm watching the Lakers do this right now. They were playing really well. I couldn't believe how well Luka fit with LeBron, and I think that's mostly because those two guys are so smart from a basketball IQ standpoint. But now LeBron's out, and it's like the first game they played without him was pretty rough. And I think it's I was like, oh, maybe it's not just their scheme and Luka fit right in. Maybe it's just LeBron is really good at integrating people. So maybe it'll be fine with Kuminga. He'll just slide right back in. But I think it's this late in the season when a team is playing really well, I think they'll take it real slow. And he's just going to have to be okay with that.
It's easy for us to say that, but he is in a contract drive right now where he's restricted coming up in the summer. But how much does – I don't think the team, quote, owes him anything, but – doesn't that make it a little bit sticky when he comes back with 17 to play and he's going to be hungry to get that bag?
Yep. I mean, that is a dynamic, you know? He turned down a lot of money. So you have to assume that is still there for him on some level. I don't think he's done anything to not earn it. And as long as that's still there, whatever he turned down, then he should be fine. But let's see how he plays. I mean, I think there's a market for him. I think, you know, he'll have options if the Warriors go in a different direction or if they don't offer the same amount or if they don't increase the offer, et cetera. I do think he has a market. It's just a question of, you know, do they let him get there? How much financial uncomfortability do they want to feel? Because if they sign into another big deal, that kind of really locks them into this team. So this is a 17-game, work in progress for everybody to see how this fits with him as Is he okay being the number three? I mean, I don't know. He showed he can be the top two player on a team here, and there might be some team out there that's thinking he can be the main guy. So it's a wait and see. But that is kind of how the Warriors have done things. I think that's what I always remind people. The only guy who got paid early, only guy that they paid before they had to was Steph Curry. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it. Some people take these disrespectfully, right? You know, Clay or Draymond. Is it uncomfortable? You paid the Jordan. Well, I guess Jordan Poole got paid before they had to, or Wiggins. But they waited a little while too on those guys. It wasn't immediate. That's kind of how the Warriors run. And if Curry is the only guy they work 2 years ahead on or 3 years ahead on, you can't get that upset.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Ramona, let's go back to Jimmy Butler for a second, but add in Steph. There's a perception out there that Mike Dunleavy, former teammate of Jimmy, had to do some convincing for both Steve Kerr and Steph. A, is that your understanding? And what are you hearing and seeing in terms of how Jimmy has pulled some things out of Steph, or how that blending is going on and off the court?
So I have heard a lot of different things on this, Mark, and I'm not sure if I have the right answer. So I usually like to tell you if I know something or if I don't know something, right? I've heard so many different versions of this that I don't actually know anymore, right?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? There was a couple of reports, and I heard that stuff too, but it wasn't from sourcing that I trust. It was kind of from maybe other reporters. That there had to be some convincing, the board met, and we weren't, whatever you call the board, Steph, Clay, Steph, Draymond, Kerr, whatever. But that wasn't really direct sourcing that I heard. It was more from other reporters on other reporting and in other places, podcasts or interviews they gave, right? And so when I asked about it, I think a lot of it was more Jimmy wanted to go to Phoenix. There was a report, right? I think Brian Windhorst had something saying he doesn't want to play for the Warriors. He won't discuss an extension. But I think that was more because he wanted to go to Phoenix instead, right? I don't think it had anything to do with the Warriors. Like, they wouldn't even – that was just like a, well, don't give them another option, right? Don't give the Heat another option, as opposed to I don't want to play for the Warriors. And then once – it became clear that Phoenix just couldn't get that deal done, that they just couldn't maneuver enough things around to get a deal done, then I think he opened up and was willing to talk to the Warriors about an extension. And so he pretty quickly moved on that. And so what came first? Was it reports that the Warriors weren't sold on him, or was it Jimmy sending word that he wasn't sold on them? What was the reaction to what? Okay. And as somebody who dug in pretty deeply on this, I only tell you I weigh everybody's opinions. I weigh everybody's statements. And then you kind of can see where the truth is once you hear from all different sides. On this one, I felt when I talked to people, especially in the aftermath of it, that there was a wariness about Jimmy in the sense that of how things ended in Miami. But they had a real level of excitement and confidence that his edge and his swagger was exactly what they needed. Obviously it's a risk because of how things blew up in Miami, right? And Minnesota and wherever else. But I think they really liked him, and they really liked this idea that, defensively and, how he could play off the ball and how he could play with Steph. I think they liked the idea of it. They kind of had to close their eyes and hope for the best. And it clearly has worked out for the best so far.
I'm not sure if it was your piece, but some report about Draymond reportedly saying, we need another blank hole in the room. And, that kind of seems...
I don't think that was mine, but I heard that too. Yeah,
I mean, the same quote and the same idea. And so, once the Phoenix thing imploded, and, Mark and I had many discussions about it, and I was hesitant, wondering if he would come here and be disgruntled. But once he got his deal and it's really worked out, it can't help but think about, and I'm asking you the question, does this now make the Warriors a team with whom to be reckoned if Kuminga comes back and is a contributor?
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to play them. they're really scary. I'm just looking at the top teams. Okay. If I'm Oklahoma City, I wouldn't want to play against them in the first round. If I'm Denver, I guess Denver has Jokic and they feel like he's a cheat code, which he is. In other words, I don't think Denver's scared of people. The Lakers don't want to play them. You know, the Grizzlies, the Thunder, like nobody wants to play the Steph Curry. It's just like you don't want to play LeBron, right? You don't want to play LeBron and Luka in the first round, do you? I mean, yeah. You know, that's scary. I mean, these are two teams that made really big moves at the trade deadline that have worked out tremendously well so far. And so if I'm one of the top teams that didn't make one of those moves, I'd be hesitant. I'd be a little nervous. Now, all that said, we could do all of this and they could still lose in the first round. Right? I mean,
sure.
You get Jokic in the first round and, you know, he does Jokic things. You know, that's how this goes. But I think that's you could tell me anything on how the Warriors would finish this. You could say they win the Western Conference and I would say, yep, I can see that. You tell me they lose in the first round. I can see that. But I feel a whole lot better about them because when you have the top stabilized, when you have the top two, you know, in all those dynastic years, whether it was Steph Clay and Draymond and Kevin, like everybody else can play their role. But when you have everybody sliding up a chair, you know, somebody is asked to be a two when they're really more of a three, and somebody's asked to be a three and they're really more of like the fourth or fifth best player. Like, that's when things don't go well.
Ramona, before you go, do you see this kind of transactional aggressiveness continuing into the offseason for the Warriors?
I want to say yes, because they are always aggressive. Right, they just are. It's just their nature. Have you ever known them not to be aggressive? Have you ever known them to be like, let's just give people some time to play? Like, I think they're always out looking for things. But I think financially, it's going to be hard. Like, this is kind of the swing. I mean, they're paying him $50 million. Like, there's not a lot of other swings you can make now, especially if you want to stay under the apron. Now, they do have their picks. That's one thing I think people don't realize is, like, the Warriors actually do have a lot of assets. They have a lot of young players. They have a lot of picks. They've done a really good job of maintaining their flexibility. But, you know, giving Jimmy $55 million, that's a lot. Ties up your money pretty tightly.
No doubt about it. And then there's the Kuminga factor, too, which we've already discussed. Right. Hey, Ramona, thank you so much. That was wonderful stuff.
Did you like, what was your favorite part? Was it the askance or when I asked you guys about, you know, parenting toddlers and what do you like?
Those are my top two because I love words and I'm rolling with a 2.5-year-old right now and we're on a 6-day win streak where breakfast and dinner, we haven't thrown food and we haven't thrown ourselves on the floor. And so right now, Ramona, we're feeling like parents of the year, but as you know, with a young one, they'll turn on you now.
They'll turn on you, and it's not even you.
Right.
Like, the biggest thing you learn with kids is, like, it's not, everything's a stage. You know? It's not me. I'm not, you're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are.
That's what I needed to hear today.
Ramona, how old are your kids now? How old are they?
6 and 2.
6 and 2, okay. So you've got young players and all your picks as well. So it's possible that you could trade them in the offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. I mean, I got two boys too. So let's put it this way. The best investment I have ever made as a parent is buying a giant trampoline for my backyard.
Oh yes.
Oh my God. We got that advice 2 days ago. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter who all she wants to do is jump.
It's a babysitter. It's literally a babysitter in your backyard.
Get the good one, the one that has, I think it's spring free, and it's got, like, the net around it. And it's like the one they have at those play places. It's a little more expensive than the ones you find on Amazon, but it's so worth it.
It's worth it.
Zip up that net and be like, see you later.
That is great advice right there. Ramona Shelburne for NBA takes and trampoline resets. That was there gold right there.
And, and dramatic pauses, which was my favorite part. Very, very thoughtful always.
You like the dramatic pause.
I do.
Well, you know what? Willard, I was going to say something else. I was debating whether I was going to give you a women's basketball answer.
Oh.
I mean, I think the aggression you will see from that franchise is going to come with the Valkyries.
With the Valkyries.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I mean, they got their hands tied behind their back with this, the stupid way that they set them up. You know, the fifth pick in the draft and the new CBA. But as soon as there's a new CBA where they can actually make some moves, and as soon as they can really get light years ahead on everybody, I think they will.
Well, Angel Reese is going to be sitting out with that new CBA, as she said. So maybe they acquire her.
Yeah. Listen, everything's on the table.
Always.
Okay, there's a will, there's a way, and I think they certainly have the will.
They definitely have that.
Yeah, as soon as they can change that cockamamie rule about having to be, 20 years old before you get drafted? Because Juju would probably be number one overall this year.
Yeah, but she makes more in college now.
Great point.
That's a very good point.
Ramona Shelburne, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, well, we're sitting here watching Stanford play Cal in North Carolina while we talk to you, Ramona.
Oh, it's a classic ACC matchup.
Yeah, wow, there's nothing better.
Oh,
nothing better.
Oh, my God, I know.
Exactly. What are we doing?
Oh, by the way, shout out to K-Pay. I know this is hard following a legend like Tara, but she's going to get everything on track. And just give her one more year. Yeah. One more year to figure this out.
And we just saw UCLA and USC in the Big Ten Championship, so everything's making
doing?
Great sense, right? What are we doing?
Yeah, Ramona? What are we doing?
Yep.
I don't know, but Stanford's up six, so...
we got Lauren Betts down here on UCLA, and I'm like, wasn't she a Stanford kid, too?
Yeah.
She was.
A Stanford kid. What are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, we'll let you watch the second half of this classic matchup. Yeah. But thanks, Ramona.
Oh,
thank you so much.
I'm watching OKC in Boston right now.
Okay, good.
This is a good game.
That one's really good. Yeah, that one's off to a really good start. All right, Momo, thank you.
Thanks, boys.
Okay, there she goes. That is Ramona Shelburne of ESPN.
Man, really, really strong
really
as always.
Good.
And,
really good.
You know, she always, and I think the dramatic pauses are now because she's hesitant to just say something and get aggregated, right?
It is that, but it's also like, I think she cares about her answer.
Good point, yeah.
Right? Like, she's like, okay, how do I want to answer that? And then secondarily, it's like, how do I not get in trouble?
Totally.
Or how am I going to answer that? So, yeah. You better be careful.
Yeah, and she is
and
careful.
She is.
Yeah. And I do think it's interesting like, the whole timeline of, you know, Jimmy and how he landed here. And that's why I asked her if, you know, they got Jimmy, could they still have done something else? And she was kind of maybe. You also said, and I liked transactionally aggressive is what the term is. You might have just made that up, but I love it because that's what this team has done. And you get into the summer, and if they do fall short this year, whatever that means, I do think that they're going to be aggressive.
Yeah, that's part of it. Part of it is we can't sit here and figure that out now without knowing exactly what they do, you know, do they lose in five games in the first round? Might make them rethink some things. If they upset some people, if they work their way through the playoffs, then maybe it's just re-sign Kuminga and come back and play a full season as you are. I don't know, but she's not wrong. The Warriors are still, you know, she said they still have their picks. Yes, they gave up next year's pick, but that pick is getting worse by the minute. And the larger idea she means is if you are going to get into conversations, if someone does come available, if you're not happy with the way this year finished, you're pretty loaded up with assets that people would want, from picks to Kuminga to Pajemski. Look what Moody is doing. And then the Butler contract itself is movable if something is going wrong. Obviously, again, this means something takes a turn.
Yes, and you also have Buddy Hield, who we all want to like, oh, Buddy, he's no good. And then, oh, my God, Buddy Buckets, he's back. If you look at his deal and what he is as a player, he's a guy, if you're a good team and he's your seventh man and you need shooting for $9 million a year, and his number, I believe, is a flat number for the next 2 years
That's
after
like
this.
Eight or something like that.
Hey, it's peanuts, coach. And so he becomes...
He's a filler piece.
He's a good bench piece. Like, yeah. If you're a good team and you need shooting, you need a guy to just come in and be hot, hopefully, fingers crossed, that's your guy at that price.
And when I say filler piece, I also mean in order to get a deal done. You know what I mean? That's whatever it is, $8 to $10 million that you can play with if the Warriors want to get there. Now, obviously, nobody's head is on that right now. Making deals. Everybody wants to stick with this because I don't know if you know this, but the Warriors are never going to lose another basketball game again.
That's what I hear.
And that's what it looks like.
And I liked her answer on that too, which is I could see him going to the Western Conference Finals, and I could also see him losing in the first round.
For sure.
Because I asked her, you know, if Kuminga is back and this thing is whole, how are they? And she, you know, nobody wants to play this team. And she's right, but then she elaborated where, you know, Denver, Jokic could get into Jokic mode, and it's like, okay, he'll go for, what did he have, 30, 20, and 20 the other night?
First one ever.
Right.
First time it's ever happened in the history of the league.
Good luck stopping that. 30 points, 20 boards, 20 dimes.
No one's stopping it, so that's my point. Like, the Warriors have a we don't want to play them list, too. The Warriors are that team because they're down in the road half of the playoffs right now. And so they're the number one. We don't want to play them. But the Warriors have that list too, for sure. And she mentioned a couple of those teams. And I do think it's Denver and the Lakers. I think I would rather see the Warriors play Oklahoma City than Denver or LA.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
I really do think that. And that's probably crazy because Oklahoma City is fantastic.
On both ends,
Just young and deep and relentless and just phenomenal. But playoff basketball is different. And I think I would take my chances going against a team that, and maybe by then they will have an MVP, because I do think that that Shea is lined up to win this one this year. But I think I would rather go against the team that does not have a former MVP and NBA champion. And the Lakers and Nuggets both have that.
Yeah.
And the other teams that are on the list do not.
And I do think that that matters. And we were talking before about the big three, the new big three, Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, and how they've got, I think I said 430 playoff games combined. And if you go to OKC and their core, they don't have probably even 100 combined of all their players. And I do think that that matters. And I look at LeBron, he's got 287, which is the most in the history of the association. And Luka's probably got 50 or 60 by now. And, you know, the point is your experience edge doesn't play, like you said, against LA. It doesn't play against Denver, recent champions. It plays against OKC, Houston, and Memphis. So I think if you get into a series, especially a first round one where, let's be fair, the nerves are going to be a little bit higher, especially if you're OKC as a one seed. And I don't think the Warriors are going to be the eight. That would be a bit of a calamity.
I don't think that's
going to happen. And OKC is almost assured. I was running down the basketball reference numbers earlier, and they're 100% to be the one seed.
Yeah, that's done.
Right. So
no one's catching them.
A second-round series against OKC would be tougher, I think, than a first-round series, because if you get them in the second round, their nerves will have been worked out a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, you're probably right. Again, they're the best team.
Right.
That's the best team.
So there is pressure in that.
But that, you know, then you start getting into matchups and experience and all of that stuff. Look, when the Warriors won the title 3 years ago, the Suns were the best team. And then, poof, the air got let out of the balloon. It can happen fast. Sometimes, and this is not like, I think that those of us have been watching the NBA for a really long time, we've sort of gotten conditioned to the whole like, dude, there's like four teams that could win it, and it's the best player, and it gets kind of predictable in the playoffs. I give you the last few years for some serious unpredictability. The Suns get bounced. The Warriors go on and win the title out of the three seed. How about last year when Minnesota is on the road for Game 7 in Denver against the reigning NBA champs, and they punked them, right? Like, I mean, just all of that. That Dallas run, there's really been some stuff lately where you can go, hold on a second, this got a little unpredictable, and I think the Western Conference this year is ripe for that. It's really ripe for that. I'm not saying Oklahoma City is not the favorite and they're not really good, but there's just, especially with what the Warriors and Lakers are now doing, there is a lot of There's a lot of firepower coming from behind.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And I do think last year kind of set the table for that in the West because you had OKC and Denver with 57. Minnesota was one back, and the Clippers were at 51. Dallas was the 5 seed, and they're the ones that made the finals. And the Warriors with 46 barely got the 10. So 1 through 10 last year was separated by 11 games. This year is going to be much greater than that. But if you look this year at 2 through 10, it's going to be a tight pack from whoever gets the 2,
for sure,
likely the Lakers. And I don't know if Phoenix can wake up and eke up to the 10. Probably
no,
not.
No,
And you've already said that the 10 teams are going to be the 10 teams.
Yeah,
I don't think you're wrong.
No, I don't think I'm wrong. However, I'm gonna throw a new caveat in there just because Kyrie got hurt. And Dallas may end up tanking harder than Phoenix.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's a two years ago,
they legitimately said,
right,
we quit.
Right, right.
So they can do it again.
And Klay Thompson's dad is literally on air saying he's in purgatory now. And so I don't know what's going to happen with the Mavericks. That sort of adds a new wrinkle to this. But here's what I'm telling you. Dallas or Phoenix will get that spot, and they will lose in their first play-in game against whoever's number 9, and that will be that. So you could almost just change
Cuckoo.
It to, yeah, lock that in. You can, I can tell you who the 9 teams are that are going to be, that are going to be in
for
this
8
thing.
Spots.
Yeah, yeah. Like Sacramento. Right now, to me, Sacramento and the Clippers will be playing for that last play-in spot. They like the Mavericks and Suns are a cut below. The Kings and Clippers are above them, but a cut below. And then you get to the clear 7 best teams.
Yep.
And you know, that's what still scares me about this party that we're all on with the Warriors is the damn Wolves. The damn Wolves who are right behind them. And, dude, watch out if the Wolves win tonight. Because if you really want to hold Minnesota off, they're probably going to need to lose some of the ones that they are supposed to lose. Tonight they're a narrow underdog. They're on the road at Denver. I actually think they might win that game.
At Denver, wow.
I actually think they might win that game. I could be wrong. Obviously, it's an NBA game. But if they do, then, they're right back even Steven with the Warriors again as the Warriors' schedule gets tougher.
And you know what even Steven means with Minnesota? You lose. They beat you 3 of 4. So you need to be a game clear of Minnesota. And I'm looking at it here, and you lost on the 6th. They beat them on December 8th. And actually, you won 3 of 4. I apologize.
Yeah,
I had that wrong.
And Minnesota actually.
Instant correction.
Well, Minnesota has, as of tonight, will have played 2 more games than the Warriors. So even if they win, they will still be percentage points technically behind the Warriors.
Yeah.
The Warriors will stay in the 6th seed, but whatever. You get the point.
No, but my point was
narrow, wrong
because even if you do end up tied, you actually you win.
You're
going to
get the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. So there's a game in hand there. That's great. But
yeah.
Minnesota is absolutely still a threat.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you look at. The Warriors have that upcoming gauntlet where you've got New York and you've got Milwaukee and Denver, 3 straight games, 3 games in 4 nights, and that's going to be difficult. So we talked about it before. Handle your business in the games where you're supposed to win, and the coin toss games, if you can go 50-50, then you're going to be the 6th seed.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so. And then what does that do for you? You know, like how comfortable is that in this moment? For me, it's not very comfortable. I know that it's like, again, we're in a spot right now where cup runneth over with optimism. And this is something we started off the show with, and we will open back up for your phone calls if you want to call right now, 888-957-9570, to sort of give us how far does your optimism go? I get that right now the Warriors look like one of the top 5 teams in the NBA. I get that we've all decided that now they are definitely a playoff team. And I hear from most people, rub hands together, they're going on a run.
On a run.
Well, hold on a second. What does that mean? So what if we asked it a different way? Because that's very general. They're going on a run. Yeah, if they get Houston or Memphis, I'm with you. I'm picking them. They're gonna win the first round, and I give them every chance in any round after that. But what if round one is the Lakers or the Nuggets or the Thunder? Like, do you still feel like they're going on a run? Like, do you sit here today and believe that the Warriors are the better team and will win a series if they play the Lakers, the Nuggets, or the Thunder in round one? My answer to that is I'm not there yet. I'm open to it. But we're still getting used to this. Got to get JK back.
Yeah.
Figure that out and then start to see them stay healthy, move this toward the end of the season, and more measuring stick games, which are coming to Chase Center this week.
They are. And for me, the biggest piece of answering that is the JK question. And that's why I asked it that way to Ramona. It's a big if. If JK comes back healthy and fits, then how do you see this team? And she said, well, nobody will want to play them. And I agree. And that right now is a pretty big if, because he hasn't played in more than 30 games, more than 2 months, and he's going to come back and it's going to be a slow ramp up. It's what Ramona Shelburne said. Steve Kerr kind of said the same thing to us yesterday. And so it's not as easy as he's back, they're rolling already, we're going to be champions. I do think that it's integration, it's his fitness, and then, like you said, the games that you have coming up, the benchmark games, how do they do in those? But if he comes back healthy and they get to a spot where you get into the playoffs and you're whatever seed, doesn't matter, I like their chances against any of those teams in a series. Would they be favored over Denver, LA, or OKC? I doubt it, well, but it'd be the closest matchup for an underdog in the league.
Completely, and I'm fully with you. Like, I sit here right now, and I'm with everybody. Sign me up for these series. I can't wait to see them. I think they'd be incredibly compelling, and I'd absolutely give the Warriors a very good chance. Here's the statement I'm not willing to make yet. The Warriors are going on a run. I can't say it yet. There's so many factors to that.
Yeah, and I've asked you repeatedly about an over-under on playoff wins, setting it at 4.5, which means they win a series and don't get swept, and you're still reluctant to take the over.
Yep.
And it's fair.
Absolutely.
And you're an optimist.
Right, but in this moment, like, if you're going to ask me that a full month before this is a reality, I'm going to sit here and look at this simply through a Vegas mathematical equation. And the equation is that, A, as we sit here today, they would remain an underdog in round one. An underdog in round one. And we don't even know that they're going to get that sixth seed that everybody is assuming they're going to get. Now, yes, they could get 4 or 5, but they could also get 7. They absolutely, like, this is so on the table. They absolutely could get 7. So, look, I think they're fantastic. I think this is great. I think that they believe, which is more important than whether or not we believe, even though that's a fun phrase in Warrior history.
Yeah.
But, you know, Steph talked about that earlier, in fact, when he was on with Steiny and Goo, with regard to kind of belief and how he thinks about that that fifth ring.
Somebody asked me this summer, like, what are you still playing for? That's literally the only thing you're playing for. And when you feel far away from it because you don't have a consistent, you're not rewarded consistently with wins on a nightly basis, or there's growing pains with a team, it does kind of, you know, knock at your confidence and your ability to imagine what it's like to be, you know, a relevant contender. And like I said, I like where we're at right now. I think we have what it takes to do it, but I'm not fast forwarding to saying, oh, we're a championship team right now, because we have another level to get to before we get to a playoff type environment. And I'm excited about that challenge. All I wanted to be is in the fight. All I wanted was a chance. All I wanted was an ability to look across the Western Conference and say, yeah, we can go toe-to-toe with whoever. And I feel like we're knocking on that door.
Absolutely. But I love how he ends that. Do you see? It's like, all I wanted was a chance. And he didn't end it by going, and now we've got one. All I wanted was a chance, and now we're knocking on the door. You're not inside yet.
No.
This is not done.
At all.
Yeah, well, it feels like a lot of Warrior fans, and I know that we understand the math, but I get it. We're very, very excited. But it feels like people also put their feet up and went, okay, now who do we want in the playoffs?
There is,
dude,
yeah.
You got to get there.
And I'm a victim of that, or I'm guilty of that, rather, because when you've done as much as they've done in a short period of time, and you look at Houston, for example, a team that isn't as good as they were earlier in the year, and yeah, you think about the 5 as possible, and heck, you're only 4 games out of the 4, and Memphis lost their big man for a long stretch.
Oh, wow, yep.
So you start to dream and think about what might be, but then I get to the math, and you know I love math, and Basketball Reference and their playoff probabilities. They've got Minnesota with a 37% chance to be the 6th seed, and the Warriors have a 27% chance to be the 6th seed. And The Warriors have a 26% chance of being the 7, and the Clippers have a 31% chance of being the 7. So there's a chance, according to the math, that the Warriors could slide to 8. I don't see it. I think they're better than the Clippers. They've got a little space on Minnesota. You mentioned tonight they take on Denver as we all start to scoreboard watch.
Yep,
and
you
know, your point, I think, is a cogent one there. They don't have anything locked up. And Steph is right. They're knocking on the door, and so is Minnesota. The Clippers are maybe approaching the door of the sixth seed, but that's it. It's kind of three teams with a chance, and the Clippers, for me, feels a little bit more like a long shot.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Clippers are in action right now, actually, having a good first quarter in Miami, but it's the first quarter, so whatever. We said we'd take some calls. Let's do it. How about Wayne in the city? Hi, Wayne. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
Hey, I was just listening. I 100% agree on the take that I really don't want to see the Lakers or Denver. I think absolutely we just play it out, and you obviously try to win every game, but, man, it would be just fantastic if we got to see Houston or Memphis, probably more likely in the first round. Regardless, Steph Curry put him in a clutch situation. I trust him over anyone. But, yeah, those are the teams I'm worried about. But, hey, man, here's to a run.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Wayne, thanks very much. Appreciate that. Look, with each passing day, this, you know, we're like, 5 seed, we're going to catch Houston. They absolutely can, but you're running out of time. Like, Houston has sort of righted their ship. They have won 3 in a row, and so the Warriors remain 3 back. When you have 17 games left, 3 back, that's a lot. Now, they have the tiebreaker. They see him again, so you could look at that as 2 back if you want. You have the power to make that 2 back. It's very doable, but the level of play the Warriors have shown so far with Jimmy Butler is going to have to continue, and that's really difficult to do for an entire month and a half, which is basically what we're asking.
It is, and you know, you're also asking other teams that may go into shutdown mode. You're asking them to care, and I'm looking at the Houston schedule, and they've got Phoenix twice, including tonight. That game is underway, I believe, the Phoenix and Houston game.
It is.
In Houston. So
Houston's up 5 after 1.
Well, forget it then. I'm just kidding. But you have Dallas coming up. You've got they have Denver twice. They've got the Clippers and the Lakers twice. So you do have some games that other teams should care about. And you mentioned it, April 6th. Click and roll at Warriors.com. The Rockets are at Chase Center in a game that could decide the 5 seed.
It could decide everything.
It might.
Yeah,
because
decide everything.
It'll be the 5th time that they play Houston. Rare in this day and age, but thank you to my beloved in-season tournament. This is going to be their 5th game, and they already beat Houston 3 of 4.
Yeah, they've got it.
They've got
the tiebreaker. That's
but now
done.
You win this one, and it might be the game that flips it and gets you into a tie. So, you know, get your tickets now at Warriors.com.
I do love this part of the season. I remember this last year. Now, there's a kind of a yin and a yang to it. Mm. In other words, like, I wish you didn't have to scoreboard watch so much. Like Thunder, they don't have to scoreboard watch. Like, if you're the big bad dog, I don't care what the hell everybody else is doing. But the Warriors, right now, they do. They do have to scoreboard watch. And as long as you kind of accept that as part of the story, it's kind of fun. Like, because how often in the NBA regular season, some argue nobody cares about any NBA regular season games, but we really don't care about out-of-town stuff. Well, you do now. Like, every night I've been watching this stuff, trying to, you know, just look at it all different ways and look at the Western Conference. The Grizzlies have a home game against the Jazz tonight. They're probably going to win that, so there's going to be another win. You mentioned the Phoenix and Houston game. The Clippers are in Miami right now. We're watching that one. And then, as I said, the big dog, as far as the Warriors are concerned, starts at 7 o'clock tonight on national TV, the Wolves at the Nuggets. And you're a big old Jokic fan.
Yeah.
If you're a Warrior fan.
For now.
Rooting for Denver tonight.
No doubt. No doubt.
That's kind of why I told you I was torn on that game.
Yeah, and I like that.
I like Minnesota in this game tonight. I want Denver,
yeah,
but I like Minnesota.
It's always a weird time of year where you become a Laker fan on some nights.
Oh, crap.
And I mean, sometimes you have to,
yeah,
right?
If they're playing the Wolves tonight, you'd be rooting for them.
They're playing the Clippers or they're playing the Kings. It's like, you know, I know LeBron's out, but you'd be LeBron James, and you'd be pulling for those teams as well.
How about Kathy in Piedmont? Hi, Kathy. Thanks for the call.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a comment about where I think the Warriors can go and why I think we might have a slight advantage over some other teams we're competing with. I've been looking closely at the number of minutes that Steph and Butler and Draymond are playing per game in the last 10, 12 games. Steph is not playing excessive minutes at all. He's playing 29, 30, 32, 33. He's in that range. And when you look at people like Jokic or LeBron before he was injured and some of the others, they are playing much heavier minutes. And I think that that puts us in a good position. I think he's not going to be as tired out. And I just think that's been a great thing for him. He's even been able to sit some fourth quarters. So I think evaluating the minutes makes some sense.
No question about it. And Kathy, I do think it's in a better spot than it's been. But, you know, there's a long way to go. And the Warriors still need to grind on every game. And there's not going to be a lot of load management stuff. And you mentioned LeBron is playing more minutes. Well, he's not right now. LeBron's getting a big old rest. And the Lakers can afford that more than the Warriors because they got themselves all the way up to the 2 seed before he got hurt.
Yeah, a little cushion, and there's no way that they will get to the 1 seed. And in fact, the 2 1-seeds are pretty ironclad, and both mark on pace to win more than 67 games, which has only been done 13 times in the association. How many of those teams, of those 13, have gone on to win the NBA championship?
You're saying when there are two teams that get 67 or more?
No, when a team wins 67 or more games,
how many of the
13 times has that team gone on to win the NBA championship?
Well, I know it's 11 or less because I can think of two teams who didn't do it. The 73-9 Warriors didn't do it.
Correct.
And the Suns, I know 3 years ago, won 67 games. And got bounced before the Warriors even got to him and won a title.
3 years ago?
Yeah, they were 67-15.
They were 64-18.
The Suns?
In 21-22, 64-18.
The year the Warriors won the title, they didn't win 67?
They won 64.
Okay, memory wrong.
It's okay. The answer is 9.
Yeah.
And one of those times was when the Warriors knocked out the Spurs in 2016. One of those times was when they knocked out the Dallas Mavericks in that 8-1 matchup, Avery Johnson.
We believe.
And then Boston in 1973, and you mentioned the Golden State Warriors when they won 73.
All right, more of your phone calls coming up on this Warrior Wednesday. It's brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Also sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Stay in your car while friendly technicians check oil, batteries, lights, tires, and more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. All vehicle types welcome. They're just like listeners like that. All listener types welcome.
That.
Yeah, right here on Willard and Dibbs.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to give you guys an exclamation of my appreciation of listening to Dibs Agitation Meditations about Butler's association compensation expectation and Miami's expiration.
Cha-ching! Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, still one of the better caller moments of the last handful of months right here on the Willie and Dibby Show.
Yeah, we've had some great ones.
Yeah.
I mean, that's somebody who listens to the nod to Tim Roy, and every time we borrow from his elevation sensation, we say, that's a buck.
Yep.
And at some point, we will go deep into our wallets, deep, 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 and pay a dollar for each time we have bastardized his great phrase. And you know what that is, right?
Bastardization sensation.
Cha-ching! That's a buck. See? Damn, see how
to,
we
trying,
do it?
Trying to save up for dinner tonight. Bro.
Yeah,
well,
sorry about that.
Okay.
I'll take that one for you.
No. Hey, tomorrow's a big day.
Yeah, today I thought was going to be bigger for the Niners. I thought today was going to be a, like, all these tier three signings. I thought that we were going to get a little bit more than just...
Well, who knows what will happen on the way to the car.
Right.
That's when Joey Bosa signed on the way to the car last night.
And also the wide receiver four from the Rams signed this very moment.
Yeah, right on the way out the door.
DeMarcus Robinson, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, DeMarcus Robinson.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. There are still names out there. Quite frankly, there's almost nobody off the board today. It's not just the Niners. Like, there just wasn't a whole lot going on. And so we'll see. I mean, honestly, these things change so quick. I'm not saying this is going to happen. We could walk in here tomorrow and they could have traded for Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals.
Wow.
And everyone will be like, never mind, we're awesome. Like, I don't know what's going to happen next. So, but yeah, it was a quiet day on the NFL front. What I meant, though, with tomorrow being a big day is tomorrow's the Thursday before the Thursday.
Ooh.
Right? So
next
Thursday is the start of the college basketball championship. So for this Thursday at 5:00, that's your chance to win the best seat in the house package. We've been telling you about it. If you don't know, you're about to know. The best seat in the house package means two people go to Splash, the beautiful, large, bougie new sports bar right next to Chase Center at Thrive City. You will go with a party of two on Thursday, March 20th. For day one of the college basketball championship. Best seat in the house package includes a prime and perfect location on the second floor of Splash, overlooking their gigantic video board, which is impressive, okay? It is, it's large and spectacular, is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's real. And, but you also get food, two appetizers, four entrees, and a dessert. Now, all you need to know in this moment in terms of how to win, just be with us at 5:00 tomorrow.
That's
I'm going to eat it.
Yep. 5:00. And in the 5:00 hour, we're giving that thing away. Give it away. Give it away.
That's just it. So
that's it.
You're here at 5, and you listen to Willard and Dibs, Willie and Dibby, and
then you win.
You'll give out a cue to call, and then that person will call, and you'll get to hang out for a day at Splash, watch a bunch of 19-year-olds miss free throws that matter and have a couple of apps and some entrees and some desserts. Yeah.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
Pretty strong.
It doesn't get much better than that when you're watching Austin Peay and Quinnipiac.
Oh, it's the best.
And some 19-year-old geology major who needs to hit them both for you to catch an over. And
is Montana going to be playing that day?
I hope so.
Okay.
They're playing in the Big Sky Final tonight. They're slight underdogs.
They're slight dogs.
We're getting loco against Noco tonight.
My little app gave me a free play, and I gave it to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dibbers, you're the da-da-da-da-da-da guy.
Yeah.
So just whatever you tell me to pick, I'm going to do the opposite of fade the Dibbers. Tell me to make a pick. I'm going to make a pick.
Yeah.
One pick.
Yep.
One pick.
You only get one shot.
One shot.
Knees weak, mom spaghetti.
All money in to the center of the table.
Yeah.
Ride the Dibbers.
Honestly, of the 52 weeks in a year, for 51 of them, you got to fade that man.
Fade the Dibbers.
Unless you're talking about animals riding other animals. When it comes to animals on top of other animals, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
But other than that, for 1 week a year, one man rises above. Scudda-da-da-da-da.
One man. One pick.
Oh, yeah.
And you gave me.
Yep.
Montana.
Nacho.
Plus the three.
Yeah.
So, there we go. There we go.
I like it.
Lock it in.
I steered you away from the money line because this could be one of those classic, like.
Buzzer beaters.
Could be.
Lose by two.
Could be tight.
I'd be all right with that.
Yep.
Yep. The best part of what you did was you picked the late night game. So at a certain point tonight, we're going to put some people to sleep. We're going to sit back. We're going to open up a cold, I don't know what, probably a sparkling water.
Knowing
something
you.
Crazy like that.
Yeah.
And we're going to sit back and watch a little Montana on ESPN8. It's going to be incredible.
It's actually on the deuce.
I know it is.
Because it's a Connie final. It's the last conference final of the day. And I guess I should probably not mention that I'm jacked up for Coppin State right now against South Carolina State.
Why? How are they doing?
They're up 7.
And you're on them?
Oh, and we're getting a bundle of points, too.
Oh, and you're getting a bundle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Anyway, let's go to Joseph and San Bruno.
That's wrong.
Hello, Joseph. What are you doing?
Hello.
Mom
just...
Oh.
That's
disappointing.
Yeah.
Did you hear what Joseph said?
He said,
and scene.
And, yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I hate it when the grand finale goes like that.
It's unfortunate.
It's kind of like when the fireworks don't work at the end of the night.
Right. I do think that we have two more shows, and we still have a great chance for,
is he? Anyway.
Friday. We'll get him on Friday. Kurt and Hayward Hills.
Here's one thing I want to say out the door tonight to everybody, okay? This has been a flipping banner day at 95.7 The Game. And I don't expect, because I don't think most of you who listen to us are crazy people. Some of you are, you YouTubers, hello, we love you. But, like, I don't think that most of you sat around and listened to the radio station the entire day. And if you didn't, you probably missed some pretty great stuff. So I would suggest going to the Odyssey app. You can go to YouTube as well and scroll around. But I would suggest heading to the Odyssey app and check out some of the things that happened today on this radio station. Obviously, the headliner being the chef. Steph Curry was on with Steiny and Goo. They were live in person with one another at Shea Center, and it's really worth your time. It's fantastic. If I do say so myself, I also really, really enjoyed Ramona Shelburne and TJ Houshmandzadeh on our show. I thought both of them brought some pretty interesting takes and perspective on what's going on with both of those teams.
Great interviews both, and it all comes down to one man to decide what actually makes it through.
Well, let's go live to Mark Grandy to find out what the hell's going to be on Best of the Game. I do think that Steph has been named a minus -8 billion favorite. let's go to Grandy and find out. Yeah.
Steph will lead things off.
Okay.
Live from Chase.
Said a lot of great stuff.
Yep.
And then we're going to hear also from Gary Payton II and Buddy Hield.
That's right.
Who were also there with Sonny.
We keep saying, Steph, they're a bunch of Warriors.
Yeah.
There's a parade of the whole team.
Don't have enough time in 1 hour to fit it all in. So if you miss Jerry Stackhouse,
you,
I would suggest
really
going back
good.
On the Odyssey
really
app for that as well.
Really good. And then I'm sure the morning show had somebody on.
It's later this morning.
Oh, that's right.
Slate.
Yep. All right. Here comes Grandy. Best of the game is just a big old bunch of dubs. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Can't wait.
Okay, tomorrow's Thursday. Big day, best day of the week. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot, it's all you got.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.